Morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. Paul is an old man now. He's sitting in a jail cell and he's waiting on papers for him to be executed. And he wanted to write one last time to his brethren at Philippi, and he wrote them a letter here. And I find it amazing how he starts out. He says, "Finally, my brethren," beginning here in verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Here he is in a jail cell waiting to be executed, and all he can think about is our Lord Jesus Christ. Even over in the fourth chapter of this same book, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." We have so much to rejoice in. Sometimes we get so tied up in this world and we get so much on our plate that we forget to realize that Christ Jesus is our Lord. And that he is in control of everything. He is absolute sovereign. And that he does all things well. All things. Regardless of, we may not see it because his ways are so much higher than our ways. And his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. But he does all things well. And Paul here says to rejoice in the Lord. And we need to rejoice in the Lord. Not that we need to, we want to. Because we know who he is. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Even over in the book of John, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He don't say, "I am the way." He said, He don't say, "I am a way." He says, "I am the way." He is the only way. And I thank God for that. But we need to worship him. And we need to rejoice in his person, in his work, in his sacrifice, in his precious blood. Because there is no remission of sin without the blood. And he was the only one that was qualified. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who has given us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Let him that glory, glory in the Lord." So that's a reason to rejoice. He has given us all. He is the offerer of our faith. He is the giver of our faith. He is the source of our faith. And he is the finisher of our faith. Christ Jesus is our all. And, you know, we dare not go to God. No, even in the Old Testament, you know, no one was able to go to God except through a priest. And we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. If you would, turn over to Hebrews 4. Chapter 14, just for a second. It's such a privilege to know that we have a high priest that loves us so much that he was willing to lay down his life and shed his blood for us. But he's a high priest. But not only that, he took on the flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. And he knows exactly what we go through. He knows what we face every day. He says here, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And look at the privilege this is right here. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, that's reason to rejoice right there, brothers and sisters. We need to rejoice in his greatness, in his person. We need to rejoice in his incarnation. He was flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones. And there are so many promises in this book that are to his children, to his elect. And God don't break promises. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we look for the blessings of his glorious return. The Bible says in the book of Titus Thank you for that blessed hope of looking for the glorious return of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back soon. You know, the Bible says that this life is like a vapor. Some of us can relate to this. Life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it's gone. But we've got someone that's coming back for us, and I thank him. I thank the Lord for that. It says here, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, here in this first verse. For a man of God that's been called to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no greater privilege on the face of the earth. There's no more responsibility than to get and stand before God's people and to proclaim His word. And it's not grievous. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's all we want to hear about. That's all we want to hear about, because He is our all. And He says, for you, it is safe. I love hearing the gospel. You know, I've been coming here for 7 years, and I love to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know what I'm going to hear before I get here. And you know what it is? It's what I want to hear. It's what I need to hear. And it's what I need to get me through the day, to know. He says to keep your mind on things above, not on things of this world, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That brings us comfort. When we get down, we get out, we get discouraged, we get too much on our plate, all we have to do is think about our Lord Jesus. He done it all for us, and He's there for us. And it's safe for us also, you know, because it helps us, you know. Whenever we talk about the gospel, there ain't but one gospel. And when we talk about the gospel, whenever we hear the gospel preached, we know it's absolute truth, and it helps us because it shows us who He is and it shows us who we are. So it helps us with our self-righteousness, you know. If you have your Bibles for a minute, turn over to Galatians chapter 1 just for a second here. You know, in this world that we live in today, but it happened in the world that Paul lived in, and he was concerned about it. But there's so many different gods in this world. There's so many different gospels being preached, but there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel for our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in this first verse, it says grace, in the third verse of 1 Galatians, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to glory, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says in verse 6 here, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, he actually says it twice. So I say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's another reason that we need to rejoice, and that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One thing that Paul was concerned about here, he said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of false concision. What these people are doing, they're working works, they're mixing works with grace. I heard a preacher say one time, if it's 99.9% grace and 0.1% works, it's not of grace, because it is all of grace. And you got people here that they want God to do their part, and then they say we have to do our part. No, Jesus Christ said on the cross, what was His last words that He said? It is finished. Our sanctification is perfect in Christ Jesus, and the work is done. And I thank Him. That brings us something else to rejoice in and to be glad in. And He says here to beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. These were Jews. They were saying, yes, we believe in your gospel, we believe in Jesus Christ, but you have to be circumcised. That's a false lie. One thing that false teachers do, they'll always have some truth there, but they'll always have some lies in it also. And like I said, there's but one true gospel. And it says here that we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And what he's saying here is there is a spiritual circumcision, and that is the elect of God. We have the circumcision of the heart. You know, some people say that when a man gets saved, that God changes his flesh. He don't change his flesh. His flesh, he's got the same old flesh. We know that. We got two natures. We battle it every day. But God comes in and he changes his heart. He turns the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And that there's a part of us that makes us want to love God. He wants us to be with God. It wants us to trust God. It wants us to love him. We want that. We want that more than anything in the world. Sometimes we get so aggravated because his flesh gets in the way. But he gives us a new heart, you know. And I thank him for that right there. And it says that we worship God in spirit, you know, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We need to rejoice, and we want to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Just think about this right here. This right here, you know, God is absolute sovereign, providence, redemption. I mean, providence and salvation and creation. He says that this is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that we're able to gather together. You know, we're gathered together in this building. This building is not the church. We're the church. And I thank God for that. And he's in the hearts of each and every one of us. You know, Joshua said, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. It don't matter if it's in an emergency room or if it's in sickness or health or whatever. You know, we're able to rejoice in the Lord because we know he's always there. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I grown thee. He's always with us. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I thank him for that. I thank him for that. And it says right here that we have no confidence in the flesh. He says that again, you know. And we don't. We don't have a bit of confidence in the flesh. We think that, you know, we think, I'm doing okay and everything. And there's things that I don't know if it's happened in my body, you know. We strive to be like Christ Jesus because we love him so much. He put that love in us. We trust him. We desire to be with him. We desire to be like him, and one day we will be. But, you know, his flesh gets in the way so many times, you know. But there's no confidence in the flesh because it changes, you know. But Jesus Christ don't change. He said the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change, and his promises don't change. And we will always be his people. We'll always be his people. He is, as I said before, and I'm going to say it again. Now, you think about this. You know, we say love and things like that. But his love is so much higher than our love. You know that? It's so much higher than our love. But I thank him for that. And then Paul, you know, he was a very religious man here. He's getting ready to go into that. He was a very religious man here. And he said, you know, he put all of his confidence in the things that he did in the outer flesh. He was a very religious man. But true worship comes from within. And comes out. It don't come out and go within. And that's where our Lord is. He said, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, and we're not. We belong to Christ Jesus because we was hanging on that cross with him when he suffered and died for us. And he paid our sin debt for us in full. And that's something that we need to, that's something as Christians, in this life that we live in, and the things that we go through, and everything, as I say this before, if we just keep our mind on him. I have found out that every time that I get down and out, and I get discouraged, and I think, what am I going to do? I don't know if any of you do this, and sometimes I think I just get overwhelmed with things. Just take a big, deep breath. And think about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he's going to do for us. And that will bring you peace. He says, peace I give unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. We have a desire to love him more. We have a desire to trust him more. We have a desire to be with him. We have a desire to be like him. And I thank him for the desire because you know who gives that to us? He does. Because nothing in his flesh is no good thing. There ain't nothing in his flesh that can please our God. But I thank God. I thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that lives within us. It gets us through the day. I don't know about you, but I need him each step of the way and each moment of the day. Because the Bible says a man that is born of this woman, of this world, his days are few and full of trouble. And, you know, we get over one thing, and then we face another. But you know what that's for? That's to draw us away from this world and draw us closer to Him, you know. And it works, you know, it works. It does draw us closer to Him because we know who's in control of everything. And we know it's not us, and I thank God it's not us. And especially when it comes to salvation, these people out here that wants to mix works with grace, you know. God does His part. I take the first step, and He'll take the rest, you know. If I take the first step, I don't need God to take the rest. I need God to help me to take that first step. I need Him to open my eyes up. He said, "For you have He quickened and made alive that was dead in trespasses and sins." It's all of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood, His perfect righteousness, His perfect obedience to the Father was our righteousness. His blood sacrifice was our justification. His grace is our salvation. It's all of Him, and I thank Him for that. I truly thank Him for that. Then Paul talks about right here, you know, these people, these false teachers, you know, mixing grace with works. He talks about him. He says here in the 4th, 5th, and 6th verse, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more." And then he talks about his credentials here. He says, "Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless." He come to find out that all of this was useless. What happened to him? He was on his road to Damascus. He ran into somebody he hadn't planned on running into. He had papers to persecute the Jews and to throw them in jail. But he ran into our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I believe the Lord saved him right then, because you know what he done? He had, as rebellious as he was, he looked up at the Lord and he said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" He seen who he was. He seen that he was God in the flesh. He knew that he was Lord. And he knew at that moment, he knew that everything that he had done in the flesh, that it was rubbish. It was trash. And that's what he says right here. He says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He come out ahead on that deal, didn't he? And he says, "Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." That is all of our hope. It's our good hope. And as a preacher, as the brother said Wednesday night, it's more than just a wish. It's an expectation. And that's because our confidence, our trust, and our assurance is not in anything that we have done, but it's in God. It's in His Word. It's in the person, the work, the sacrifice, and the blood of the precious Lamb of God, the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Paul came to realize, and that's what happens when God opens up our eyes. He opens it from the heart. He opens the heart up, and we see the truth. And that's one thing that helps us to hear the gospel of Christ over and over. When we get out in this world, when we hear a lie, we'll recognize it, won't we? Because we know what the truth is. And I thank Him for that right there. I thank Him so much for that. You know, at one time, he thought that he was doing God a favor. You know, you don't do God favors. God don't need us. We need Him. It's not what we do for God. It's what God has done for us. And He gave His only begotten Son on the cross, allowed Him to bleed and to be our sacrifice for us. And I thank Him for that. It says that He renounced everything that He had done in religion, and He counted them nothing but useless. And in verse 9 and 10 right here, He says, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness," He realizes it now, "not finding my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made formidable unto His death." It says here that as believers, our purpose, our desire, our sincere hope is that we may obtain Christ and be found in Him. Look at Galatians 2:16-20. Galatians 2:16-20. It says here, it says knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, Paul found this out, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I fought the law, and dead to the law, but I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the flesh which I now live in the flesh. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He done it all, and I thank him for that. As God's elect, we want to be like Christ. We want to be like him in attitude. We want to be like him in spirit. We want to be like him in heart. That's our desire. That's the new heart that God has put into us. Is that right there? Read 2 Timothy verse 7. 2 Timothy verse 7. We're about finished. 2 Timothy verse 7. We just read verse 10. It says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Everything is about Christ. He done it all, and I thank him for that. He says here in verse 11, if by any means I attain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, our Lord, of God in Christ Jesus. It's not talking about salvation here, as we said before. That's a finished deal. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors to Jesus Christ, and for what he has done for us and what he's doing for us, we have a desire. He's already grabbed hold of us, but we have a desire to grab hold of him. And we do that by coming together when we can. We love the brethren, don't we? We love each other, you know. And what's so great about this church is right here is the unity. It has the same focus, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. We want to know him. We truly want to know him. We want to love him. And we do. We do know him. We do love him. We do trust him. But we're never satisfied with where we stand at with Christ. We always want to love him more. We want to trust him more. We don't want him to be a part of our life. We want him to be our life. We have that desire. And one day, I love that verse over in John where it says, beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what ye shall be. But when he shall appear, you shall be like him. Can you imagine? You shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Do we not have a lot to rejoice after? We have a lot to rejoice for. I thank God. Thank God for his mercy, for his grace, for his love, because it's everlasting. Amen. You're dismissed.